And everyone's saying, oh, is Trump losing MAGA? No, I'm not losing MAGA. MAGA loves what I'm doing. And CNN did a poll of MAGA voters, a big poll, very important poll.
I know this is a widely discussed element of the presidency, but it is genuinely appalling. Like, beyond him being crazy and sundowning everything, he's actually just, like, very low IQ. Largely because of the age. Like, Trump was pretty quick-witted back before the age caught up to him. You can see plenty of clips of him back in the 2000s, 1990s, where he's, you know, he's evil, of course. Terrible person, but he's, you know, pretty quick-witted. But he is now, like, genuinely he's, like, disabled, essentially. It's quite bad.
So today is a very special day. It's a day where we celebrate Jesus. It's a day where we celebrate religion.
Do you think he knows what Easter is meant to celebrate? Like, genuinely, do you think he knows?
And it's an honor to be the president of the United States. Our country is doing so well, like it has never done before. You'll see that very shortly. And things that we've done have not been done before. We've broken every record on the stock market. We've broken every record in our military. And what about the rescue that took place yesterday? What about that?
Yeah, we'll look into that. Like I said earlier, there's a lot of really fishy stuff around there. It's obviously like a big propaganda point. Oh, we did a daring Black Hawk Down rescue, whatever else. I'm interested in looking more into it. Oh yeah, his hand is very discolored. I don't know. Can you guys see that right there? You can see the discoloration when the light is on it. He was gone for a couple of days, like throughout the weekend from Wednesday. So my guess is that he stroked out again and they had him on the standard medical care. That would be my guess.
What? We killed Soleimani. Without Soleimani, if they had Soleimani, it would be a whole different thing. Maybe. We'd still be winning, but it would have been harder.
Because they scuttled like six little birds, two C-130s and a transport truck. How many C-130s do we have? So you're telling me that if we force America to commit to like another 100 rescue operations, eventually our entire transport fleet will be gone? Hundreds? A billion? Okay, we just so a couple more times then.
Are obliterating that country. And I hate to do it, but we're obliterating. And they just don't want to say uncle. They don't want to cry as the expression goes, uncle, but they will. And if they don't, they'll have no bridges. They'll have no power plants. They'll have no anything. I won't go further because there are other things that are worse than those two.
Straight up, are we going to do this for every pilot that gets downed? POWs are a huge deal. Huge deal in the modern day. The propaganda effect of being able to make like videos with a captured pilot or weapons officer is it's not only huge, it's also like basically unprecedented, because the last time we had a conflict where when was the last time a service member was captured and ransomed off by a hostile military, not just a hostile country, during active conflict? It's pretty uncommon, especially for a pilot weapons officer. Afghanistan, it did happen a couple times in Afghanistan, but usually it was even then the Taliban back then didn't really have the propaganda wing that Iran has today. It's just not very common.
And we might have, well, the thing, if I had my choice, what would I like to do? Take the oil. Because it's there for the taking. There's not a thing they can do about it. Unfortunately, the American people would like to see us come home. If it were up to me, I'd take the oil. I'd keep...
Unfortunately, the American people would like to see us come home. Unfortunately.
The oil, I would make plenty of money. And I'd also take care of the people of Iran much better than they've been taken care of. It's been horrible. They've killed 45,000 people as of a month and a half ago. 45,000 protests.
Number keeps going up.
We don't do that. So if I had my choice, I'd keep the oil. But I also want to make the people of our country happy. I think most people wouldn't understand that.
Apparently, Brigadal, 2009 Afghanistan. Huh. It's my main point is just it's relatively uncommon. We don't want to give that to Iran. Always yapping?
Yeah, I think most people wouldn't understand that. I'll give you an example. Venezuela has worked out so incredibly. We have 100 million barrels of oil right now in Houston being refined. It's been great. The relationship with Venezuela, the leaders, has been fantastic. And I think we're going to have a long-term, very good relationship. And it might be beyond long-term. You understand?
Mr. President, Mr. President, when do you say the American... Mr. President, when you say the American people don't want that, how do you know that? Are you listening to polls?
Well, I tell you what, I'm pretty good at this stuff, and I go around and I check. They'd like to see us win and come home. And I appreciate CNN for the first time maybe in my life. They did a poll, and everyone's saying, oh, is Trump losing MAGA? No, I'm not losing MAGA. MAGA loves what I'm doing. And CNN did a poll of MAGA voters, a big poll, very important poll. Harry.
It is, I know this is a widely discussed element of the presidency, but it is genuinely appalling how, like, beyond him being crazy and sundowning everything, he's actually just, like, very low IQ. Largely because of the age. Like, Trump was pretty quick-witted back before the age caught up to him. You can see plenty of clips of him back in the 2000s, 1990s, where he's, you know, he's evil, of course. Terrible person, but he's, you know, pretty quick-witted. But he is now, like, genuinely he's, like, disabled, essentially. It's quite bad.
And he went on, he said, this is amazing, 100% support. He said, I've never had a 100% poll at anything before. And his, do you support Trump, MAGA people, which is, by the way, mostly Republican. And if you look.
The MAGA people are mostly Republican. I'm taking notes.
I would say MAGA makes up a majority, like about 95% of the Republican Party, all right? So they went out, they did a poll, and CNN came back 100% support. So they support what we're doing, but they would like to see it end and come back. But remember, wars last years. We're in there for 34 days, and we've obliterated a very powerful country.
Very reassuring, Mr. President.
And we've obliterated a very powerful country in 34 days. If it were up to me, I'd like to keep the oil. I just don't think the people of the United States would really understand. 45-day
ceasefire. This is the clip I saw.
Yeah, who are you with? Who are you with? PBS. Well, that's it. Radical left group of lunatics, if you will. Let me just tell you, very fair question. The Iranian people, when they don't hear bombs go off, they're upset. They want to hear bombs because they want to be free. And the only reason they're not out protesting, you know that, is because they were informed that if they protest, like the wrestler and his friends, if they protest, they will be shot immediately. And that's an edict. That's in writing.
Edict.
If they protest, if they go out in the streets, they will be immediately shot.
How is it taking care of the Iranian people?
Seems Russia sending a second tanker to Cuba. Thank God.
So I'm very upset with a certain group of people, and they're going to pay a big price for that. But the Iranian people will fight back as soon as they know they're not going to be shot and as soon as they can get weapons. If they had weapons, not many of them, if they had weapons that would go in the other way, and you know what would happen? Iran would give up in 2 seconds because they wouldn't be able to take it. But in Iran, they have absolutely no weaponry, and they've been told point blank, if you come out to the streets, you will be killed. As of this morning, and we have this on pretty good information, 45,000 protesters have been killed.
This music is so jazzy. So good.
It's a big country. They can't fight back. They have no capability. They have some missiles left. They have some drones left, but essentially they have no capability. They had a lucky shot with an airplane, but we got them back out. The rescue was incredible. And it wasn't a one person. It was a two person. There are those that say that's never happened before, because usually when you're shot down in strong enemy and deep enemy territory, you can't go after them because you'll end up losing 250 people to get one. So it's a terrible thing. But we had to make a decision. Do we do it or do we not? And we did.
God.
The news conference in a little while. What would you like to ask her?
What she wants to say. Man, firstly, can you tell us your message to children who find themselves in the world?
Well, all of this is happening for their future. So they will be safe in years to come.
You think J.D. Vance is in the bunny? I would put him in the bunny, for sure. Why did tens of millions of people take to the streets to protest the Iraq war when 75% of Americans supported the war? But when only 30% of Americans support the war in Iran, there have been no major protests at all. Death of civil society. 25 years ago, people believed that there was a relationship between what the people wanted and what actually happened. And now we don't think that. It's really that simple. And that's the great death. That's the civilizational death. You know, that'll hurt us more than anything, basically. The last gasp was the George Floyd protests. That was the last, I don't know, that was the last like wave. And even then, that didn't really change anything. I mean, the Iraq War protests didn't stop the war either.
What else?
Nice. Nice meme.
What do you say to Americans who are not a fan of the war?
They're foolish, because the war is about one thing. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. Had we not broken the Barack Hussein Obama agreement, you know that, you know what I'm talking about, the Iran nuclear deal. This is years ago, my first term. You would have had a total...
No kings? Listen, I support the No Kings protests, but they really are pathetically tiny. Like, the proportional size of the No Kings protests and their, I guess, level of aggression relative to what's happening in this country is nothing. Really. I'm in favor of the protests, and I'm not criticizing them necessarily for being liberal. I'm only saying that if you take the, like, proportionally how big these protests are and compare them not only to big protests in America's past, but also to, like, pro-democracy protests in other countries, they really are quite tiny. And I just think the main thing is that people no longer believe they have any say in the future of this country. That's it. People are just feeling hopeless. Really, I think that's it. I think that's the more than anything. It's not because they're liberal or whatever. It's just because people know, they think it's just inevitable. There's just like a marching decline that can't be stopped.
Israel would have been gone, extinguished. Israel would have been wiped off the face of the earth, and the entire Middle East would have been, at a minimum, in big trouble. But I did it. That was phase one. We killed Soleimani.
You're dooming. Trump just promised to obliterate Israel, and you're dooming.
Do with the voters that do eggs?
Awesome.
Did you say 100% or
90%?
Did anybody in the egg industry vote for Kamala?
Kamala.
She's a low IQ person. Who's a lower IQ person, Biden or Kamala?
That's close.
That's probably the toughest question. That's a tough question.
No Kings is not small. Compared to the size of the country and the scale of what's happening to the country under Trump, I would say they're quite small, yeah. If you compare them to pro-democracy protests in other countries, I think you'll find they often are. What about the Minneapolis protests? Well, that wasn't really about the size of the protest. That was about local resistance to ICE raids. It's not really a protest, right? It's more like police response. But, I mean, those were great. Other countries don't have police as militarized. Oh, no. Come on. You can attend a protest in America without really facing any risks. I guarantee you that people who protest in like former Soviet countries or the Balkans or Greece or whatever face much more risk protesting than Americans do. You talk sometimes how impossible it is for there to be a great leader who radically changes the direction of a country, a la 20th century leaders. I think protesters feel that too. The idea of what to take, what to control isn't even thought in their minds. Yeah, no, I think it's easier to envision a big pro-democracy protest if you can imagine ousting a leader. Like, for instance, the Ukrainian Euromaidan protests. Those protesters could imagine, they could envision, like, if we ousted Yanukovych, we could put in real change. Like, you could change, you could fix something. And they were right. By ousting Yanukovych, they did legitimately remove a significant portion of Russian influence over the country. You know, it was like impactful. It was effective. It did something. But now, like, we all know, even if you could somehow oust Trump, which you can't, there's no protest you can do that would oust Trump, right? At least none that you betas would be willing to do. What happens after you oust him, J.D. Vance? What happens if you oust J.D. Vance? Well, nothing happens. We all know, or at least a lot of people, I think, intuitively understand the reason the country is the way it is not because of Trump or any of the individuals in Trump's cabinet, but rather because of a confluence of material forces that are acting through Trump. That's the reason why the Democrats are so ineffective. Now, if the Democrats were an effective opposition party, things might be different. If Democrats were as, you know, committed to opposition as they were to the Republicans back in, say, 1936, then you might see some, like, real gumption with the protests, because now you know what the alternative is. You know what the stakes are. But right now, like, what? So a protest, the George Floyd protests, what do they change? Literally nothing. No kings. What happens? Literally nothing. I don't know. It's very grim. Like I said, the withdrawal from civil society is the death of democracy. Democracy is more of a cultural affect than it is a system of government. You need people who are willing to engage with and participate in it. Otherwise, democracy is just a system of rules that legitimize the ruler that might have just been, you know, imposed in an authoritarian manner. Democracy exists only to legitimize. In my opinion. I don't know why I care about Vosh's criticisms of American protests. He's just watching from his PC. I think that's a very salty way of engaging with the nuanced point that I just put out. Like, pardon me for glazing myself. I think I just put forward a decent argument for you to respond with a, you know, dejected, oh, well, he's just a streamer. It's true, I am. And I you know, I was born this way. I can't help it. But, like, don't be glum or don't reject the premise. And also, I'm not criticizing the protest. I'm just pointing out that they're not doing anything. And that's a fact. And you shouldn't take that as an insult. I'm not like those Twitter lefties who are saying, like, everyone at the No Kings protests are, you know, liberals, they're useless, they want to go back to brunch, blah, blah, blah. I think their participation is fantastic. I'm just pointing out that I think a lot of people feel apathetic about the potential for protests to meaningfully change anything. That's what a critique is. But there is a difference between a critique of American civil society and our apathy versus a critique of, like, a protester. When you criticize a protest, or when a person accuses you of criticizing a protest, you're implying that you're, like, against the protest, or you think the people in the protest are in some way useless, and that's not the point that I'm making. Do you think it's doing literally nothing? I think it's doing literally nothing, but it's still good that it's happening. But, like, you think of the protests are like a formless expression of antagonism that is meaningless until it takes shape, you know? Like a hand grasping for a sword. Normally, in a functioning country, this would be the purpose of the Democratic Party, to be the oppositional force, to be the sword, to be the vehicle through which you could channel antagonism. If the Democrats were a competent opposition party, not only would Kamala not have lost, they would have won by like 60-40 margins. It would have been like a plus 20 across the country. Unfortunately, that's not the country that we live in. So in the absence of a competent Democratic Party, we're kind of struggling right now to imagine, well, like, how do you build up that sword? How do you like have a decisive blow? What can a protest do? What can it accomplish? You know? And it's tough. That's difficult. Will people get less apathetic closer to the election, maybe? Well, depends on who they're voting for. I mean, if our best options, like Gavin Newsom, I don't know. I mean, how excited can people really get? A world without those protests would be worse? Yeah, of course. Yeah, I've never said otherwise. I think it's great when people go out and protest. I've always said so.
Mr. President, how would it not be a war crime to strike Iran's bridges and power plants?
Because they killed 45,000 people in the last month, more than that. It could be as much as 60. They kill protesters. They're animals. And we have to stop them, and we can't let...
Sorry, Vosh, this is a dumb take. Protesters showing opposition helps people organize. Okay, this really frustrates me, but thankfully my temper has calmed a bit over the years of doing this job. You have to argue against the positions I have, not the positions you're making up in your head. I have said I think the protests are a good thing. I have exclusively spoken positively about the protesters and about the act of protesting. Like, just please keep that in mind, okay?
Them have a nuclear weapon. Very simple. They want a nuclear weapon. They've been trying for a long time. I stopped them with the Obama.
You said they do literally nothing? Yes, that is true. These are not in any way mutually exclusive statements. Sorry, if you want a more nuanced take, what I would say is that they preserve the spirit of American civil participation, even if they have no outcome. Saying they're doing literally nothing isn't total positivity. Oh my God, there's a difference between saying that a protest is bad or disagreeing with the protest and saying that right now they're impotent because they're lacking an additional element. They need the additional element. That's the point. The protests on their own aren't effective because they lack the the mechanism by which change can be affected. If like a general strike, for example, isn't merely an expression of civil participation, you are threatening the country by withholding labor. You know, something has to happen. A No Kings protest is a good show of popular opposition, but at the end of the day, nothing actually changes. That's the criticism. It's the fact that there's no hammer. You know, you're moving your hand like this, but nothing's striking the iron. But that's not, but it's still good to get out there. I don't know. I feel like some people, I've noticed like when people go to these protests, they think like, a lot of you went to the George Floyd protests. I hope you don't now take offense at my suggestion they didn't accomplish anything. Do you think that's me speaking against the George Floyd protests? Like you interpret that as me being against them conceptually? Come on.
A horrible Iran nuclear deal. I stopped him in a lot of different ways. We got rid of Soleimani, the evil genius. He was an evil genius. We got rid of him. And then we stopped him with the B-2 bombers not so long ago, and we didn't do it.
I interpret whatever position's most combative. That's fair. That's very good.
We're also happening at a time where we're in a very, very powerful, you could call it a military operation. Mm-hmm. People like me to call it that because they don't like me using the word war. Because they say, he said war. Let's call it a military.
Little Seath guys, the right is far more mobilized than the left is right now. Actually, I'd like to add a little bit of cumin, a little bit of cilantro, if I might, to your take. The right is actually very poorly organized. It's just they have an overwhelming amount of money behind them. Whenever the right gets anything done, it's not because of a massive outpour of public support for their positions. The right doesn't usually show up to protest. They don't usually show up in big movements. They don't flood town halls. They don't really show themselves in public that much. When the right gets something done, it's because they have an overwhelming amount of power, money, and capital influence, you know? Because all the powerful people who get to make those decisions are already in bed with the right. Unfortunately, we're fighting an uphill battle here, which is, you know, it's not great. But I do not think the right is well organized. They're actually, like, I would argue, far worse in their organization than us. We just need better organization. We're fighting with a handicap. Or maybe they're fighting with one, I guess.
Operation, but no, Jared's doing a great job. NASA's amazing, actually amazing. And that's some ship. Also happening at a time where we're in a very, very
significant legal challenge to your arch. Do you think that you can get that built or at least start building it before
you leave
office?
Who's doing a legal challenge?
It's a group of veterans, sir.
Group of veterans?
Because it obstructs the viewshed between Arlington National Cemetery and the...
You gotta be kidding.
Significant legal challenge to your arch. Do you think...
War crime talks. Do. Joe Walsh, servant to Israel, blah, blah, blah.
I want to read what President Trump posted about Iran yesterday. Quote, Tuesday will be power plant day and bridge day, all wrapped in one in Iran. Open the effing, he actually used the word, straight, you crazy bastards, or you'll be living in hell.
Would a one-day general strike ever do anything, lol? There's no such thing as a one-day general strike. A true general strike has no specific end date. And is an apocalyptic threat to a country's economy. There's no way to do like a fancy, you know, no shopping today, whatever. A general strike is like a death knell to a country. It's more devastating to a country than a war. A general strike carried out for a week across the United States would cause more economic harm than a carpet bombing campaign from the rest of NATO against us. That is the point of a general strike. It would be essentially an act of war against the American economy, and it would be treated as such by the American government. That's the reason why, say, in Canada, every time there's even a whiff of a strike in a necessary industry, Trudeau, or now, you know, Mark, instantly shuts it down.
How hopeful are you that approach will bring Iran to the table?
Well, thank you for having me on this morning. Obviously, when the President of the United States speaks, everybody listens. That message was completely tailored for the Iranian leadership.
That is good.
And I think that obviously with Witkoff and Kushner involved in the negotiations and negotiating at a certain level.
What's up with this guy's face? Evil people have evil looking faces. The evil warps their face. Phrenology is correct. Are we done with the Easter bits and the rest of it's the Trump press conference? So you're saying in order to fix things, we need to unionize again? Unionizing can't really work the way it used to. There's no job security. Nobody talks to anyone else. Everyone's got gig work bullshit. I don't think unions are coming back. Unions are going to end up being as antiquated as everything else we associate with the 20th century. Like original fascism, labor organizing. Something new will be needed. I don't really know what it is. Maybe we're all just going to die. Well, we are all going to die one day.
It's a great honor to be with you, and happy Easter. We had a great Easter. This is one of our better Easters, I think, in a lot of different ways. I can say militarily, it's been one of the best.
Random Hitler moment. Fuck, was that phrenology sentence? Phrenology is correct. If a person's evil, you can see it on their face. It's true. I would invite you to look at literally any Republican, voter, or politician. You can see it. It's very clear. Scientific evidence is mounting. I will be reviled in my time, but respected after my time for this. Mm-hmm.
So, good afternoon. We have quite a bit to discuss. We'll go into pretty good detail. The entire country can be taken out in one night. And that night might be tomorrow night.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, bucko. All the bullshit about the weapons officer rescue.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. You've said Iranians would be mad if you stopped these attacks. But ableist, why would
okay.
they want you
that
to
is
blow
correct.
Up
I am
their
ableist.
Infrastructure to cut off...
I am bigoted against the ability to do evil. It is true.
...their power. Wouldn't that be punishing Iranians for the actions of the regime?
They would be willing to... They would be willing... And it's suffering. They would... be willing to suffer that in order to have freedom. The Iranians have, and we've had numerous intercepts. Please keep bombing. Bombs that are dropping near their homes. Please keep bombing. Do it. And these are people that are living.
I acknowledge you're probably right, but it feels counterintuitive to be as cynical as you are sometimes. Oftentimes you sport a more pragmatic or optimistic. Wait, in what respect am I being cynical? Accelerates arguments, but it feels antithetical. I don't know. I guess I kind of feel like there is a historical precedent to this, you know. It's not as though every overriding hegemonic ideology has been overthrown the moment people thought of critiques against it. We might just be waiting right now until neoliberalism throws us off a cliff. I just want to survive the fall, if you know what I mean. You said unions are going to be useless and we need something else. Maybe we're all just going to die. Oh, well, white boy can't say shit anymore without somebody having a problem with it. Union participation has been going down for longer than I've been alive. We have to recognize this is a fact. If our hope for the future resides on the assumption that for some reason unions are just going to magically reappear and become more popular, I just don't think that's going to happen. Especially given the fact that existing unions aren't even particularly progressive. Like the Teamsters Union. You know, like it's like you even the remaining unions we have are not exactly like bulwarks of socialist ideology. It's possible that like history will in the future unveil another avenue for us. But right now, I got to say the union path is not one I'm feeling very good about. It seems to me like the abstraction of the American economy has made it increasingly difficult to imagine a general strike being the most effective way to bring about social change. A general strike makes more sense when your whole industry, like your whole economy is made up of like textile industry, factories, you know. If you stop working, you can physically see a city shut down. You see the smokestacks over the factories stop producing smoke. You can see a city grind to a halt. What happens now? I don't know. A bunch of Starbucks close. What? Silicon Valley tech jobs, emails don't get answered until a week later. I don't know. Not to say there would be no effect, only that it's less... It's more abstract. It's less immediate. So it doesn't feel as straightforward of a path to change.
Where the bombs are exploding, and when we leave and we're not hitting those areas, they're saying, please come back, come back, come back. These are the people. Yes, please.
This is a pretty U.S.-specific union critique, I feel. Well, that is the country I'm talking about. Though what I'm saying does apply to an extent to Western European countries as well. You're all sinking into the pit, too. Do keep that in mind.
I don't know what they do. All I can tell you is they want freedom. They have lived in a world that you know nothing about. It's a violent, horrible world where if you protest, you are shot.
Do you think of Czechia as part of the Balkans? Everything east of France is Balkan, as far as I'm concerned. What is Germany, if not the descendant of the Holy Roman Empire, which was the original Balkanized niche micro-ethnic state? America's a Balkan state? That's true. I agree.
So, yeah, there were people within the military that said it's a wise... And don't forget, how many men did you send altogether, approximately, for the operation?
I'd love to keep that a secret.
Okay, well, we are. But I will tell you, the number, I'll keep it a secret, but it was hundreds and hundreds of these people. That's pretty good. Is he central casting? But... hundreds of people
oh my God.
Went into this journey.
Hundreds of people could have been killed. Forget about the equipment. A lot of equipment. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Holy shit, dude. We lost 10,000 people rescuing that weapons officer.
Look what happened. I mean, the women are being executed because they're not properly clothed, they say. They're not properly clothed, and they execute the women. They shoot them right on the street. No, you have a much different group of people. Now, I'm not saying we are dealing with them. Essentially, they have till 8 o'clock tomorrow night, Eastern time. But we are dealing with them. I think it's going well. Mr. Witkoff is here, and J.D.'s involved in the dealing. Look what happened. I mean,
it's crazy how much nothing is going to happen at 8 p.m. ET tomorrow. I might not even be streaming. The odds of something happening are so low.
47 years. This should have been handled by 7 presidents, a lot of presidents. And those presidents are saying now, every one of them, to their friends, we should have done this a long time ago. So it's not something I like doing. It's very dangerous. And we're getting them at the height of their strength. If I didn't terminate the Barack Hussein Obama Iran nuclear deal, they would.
All right, I imagine a lot of this is going to be
how Israel can vote for a Democrat is, if you're Jewish in New York City or any place else in this country, and how you can vote for a Democrat is unbelievable. Because how
crazy to imagine. That's the official third way position, by the way. If Hassan's views get represented in the Democratic Party broadly, Jews should just vote for Republicans.
Thank you, Mr. President, for the question. Deliberate attacks on civilian infrastructure violate the Geneva Conventions and international law.
Who are you with?
I'm with the New York Times. Zolan from the New York Times.
The failing New York Times. All right, buddy. How about you tell me, what does NATO stand for? Tell me, it's the North. What is it? The failing New York Times. I bet you don't know.
Are you concerned? Circulation way down at the New York Times.
Are you concerned that your threat to bomb power plants and bridges amount to
war crimes? No, not at all. No, I'm not. I hope I don't have to do it. But again, I just said 47 years they've been negotiating with these people. They're great negotiators. And because they're not going to have a nuclear weapon. And if somebody that takes my place...
If Dems were a real opposition party, they treat Fox News and Newsmax how Trump treats the New York Times. If the Democrats were a real opposition party, Fox News would be gone. I genuinely think you could make a credible case for over half the people on the upper echelons of management for Fox News being an actual capital T traitors. A lot of them openly aided and abetted the enemy in an insurrectionary attempt to seize power and behead the United States government. As far as I'm concerned, that's all it takes. Lock him up.
Today is weak and ineffective, which possibly that will happen because we had numerous presidents that were weak, ineffective, and afraid of Iran. We're never going to let Iran have a nuclear weapon. And if you think it's okay for people that are sick of mind, that are tough, smart, and sick, really sick.
Do you think cultural malaise can be defeated / reversed? Zach Polanski's slogan in the UK has been make hope normal again. I hope this doesn't come across as too defeatist, but right now my position is that so much capital is being held out of the reach of taxation that the answer is no, because no politician is powerful enough to change that. You would basically need like a joint financial crackdown across Western Europe to be able to, because we're not just talking about money that's out of hands in your government. For one, you have to prevent capital flight. And for two, so much of that money is held overseas in illegal tax-free accounts. Like, you would need a ridiculously well-coordinated effort to go after. And I just don't know if the public will is there. How many people are aware of the extent to which we've been raped and, dissolved? Like, does the average American wake up and think, how is it that we are wealthier and more productive than any country in human history, but back in the 1940s, we built thousands of miles of roads and bridges, and today we can barely afford to upkeep the stuff we built 80 years ago? Do you think the average person thinks about that? How is it that objectively our technology, the efficiency with which we produce things, And the amount of money we have going around is greater than it ever has been, but we can produce less. I don't think people think that. So how many Americans would be willing to, co-sign on like an international effort to crack down on the missing capital that would, I mean, it would be like a, I don't know if it would literally be a bloody affair, but it would be a very difficult process. It would take years and years. And you'd be fighting uphill the whole way because all the media is owned by capital. I think that like that's what needs to be done, essentially. You need to prevent the hollowing out of our society. You have to de-private equity everything. And I don't know, man. It's real bad. The advent of trillionaires? We'll live to see trillionaires. Why do we need anyone to co-sign? Just do it? Well, that'd be nice.
Well, from a policy standpoint, from a stamp, any which way you want to say, mentally, these are disturbed people. If you think I'm going to allow them, and powerful and rich, to have a nuclear weapon, you can tell your friends at the New York Times, not going to happen.
Quiet.
You no longer have credibility to New York.
That's me. That was me yesterday. North American Treaty Organization, you sound insane. Why do I even listen to you people? This is why no one reads the failing New York Times.
But we're giving them till tomorrow, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and after that, they're gonna have no bridges. They're gonna have no power plants. Stone ages, yeah. Stone ages.
I don't think anything's going to happen.
We haven't heard that in, I think, maybe hundreds of years. Now, with Venezuela, and we just so you understand, the people of Venezuela, they say if I ran for president of Venezuela, I'm polling higher than anybody has ever polled in Venezuela. So after I'm finished with this, I can go to Venezuela. I will quickly learn Spanish. It won't take too long. I'm good at language.
I think your commentary about the collapse of the American Empire being like the collapse of the Roman Empire will come true. People are only going to realize they're in a gilded society when there's no gold left. Yeah, kind of. I think that like from our perspective, this comes across as all like very dramatic. But from the average person's perspective, life is just slowly getting harder and less hopeful, you know? But it's not like it's a frog boiling. It's the average person. I don't think they understand the immediacy of the moment. So they're not going to agree to immediate solutions. People agree in the abstract, like, yeah, we need to retax the billionaires, redistribute the wealth. Even Republicans, for the most part, they're on board with this, with the policy solutions to wealth inequality. But that's not quite the same as co-signing what would be necessary. A war against the capital class across just the West. No, we're not even talking India, China, whatever. Just the West. We'll say, you know, NATO. NATO countries, right? NATO countries warring against their own capital-based inequality. It would be an existential war. I don't think people understand, because it would never be clean cut. It wouldn't be like a government in unison fighting against it. Imagine fighting against the cartels, but in every country. And also the cartels don't control like a third of the wealth in your country, they control like 90% of it. Like where people would, in a country where the economy, the global economy, the supply lines are breaking down, the capital class would have the ability to basically pay you off. They would have a mercenary class underneath them. It sounds dramatic. I'm speaking very dramatically right now, but just think about it. Think about an organized effort to seize essentially the planet's wealth back from a modern day aristocracy. They have enough wealth and influence. They have spoken, they've whispered in the ears of presidents and prime ministers, congressmen for decades and decades. These people, it's not just like, it wouldn't be as simple as just, oh, we're going to arrest all the Bernanke and Goldman Sachs people and Elon Musk and all these. It wouldn't be that simple, man. Like, we're talking about an economic superstructure that would potentially put food on the table for millions of people who would operate as the front line of their capital interests. The cops, the military. What would happen if they tried paying off generals? Oh, hello, U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff. You're loyal to your country, I understand. Well, isn't what the leadership doing right now in a way disloyal to the founding principles of this country? Also, if you side with us, we will guarantee your safety and existence and wealth and prosperity for the rest of your lives, as well as your family and your children and their children. I don't know. It could get really scary, you know? As a general rule, you don't want to make enemies of, like, all of the most powerful people in existence, kind of. I think that eventually all of this will break anyway. I think it'll break on its own. I'm just saying that, like, an organized effort to go against the capital class right now would be so difficult. So difficult. But we'll get there. The system is going to break eventually. So it's for me, it's a matter of being well prepared when it does break. Because the more the closer we are to a break, the more amenable people will be to arguments against the status quo. The more obvious it is that this isn't working, the easier it'll be to push against it, you know? So being said, right, yeah, well, that's why I've said that. I mean, that's the whole bit. Not to be too metaphorical, but you're advocating for a kind of nuclear bunker ideology. Well, I mean, I do think that the system will need to break, or at least come very close to breaking, before any kind of meaningful systematic change can take place. And in the meantime, it's about being prepared for it. But the thing is, the preppers, the nuclear bunker prepper ideology, is fundamentally very individualist, which I reject. The idea that you can survive the end times just by having a bunch of ammunition and tuna cans stockpiled, that's ridiculous. It doesn't work. It never will work. What we need is the opposite. You know, we need radical communalism, people to be civilly minded, and also to prepare for things to break. You might be right, but I hope you aren't. Hey, I'd love to be proven wrong. I would love it. I would love it. Love it. Love it. If I was wrong, if the Democratic Party was taken over by people capable of resisting the you know, downward spiral, I would love that. I would love that. I don't like envision myself as some kind of, you know, survivor, walking dead protagonist of a broken world. I know fully well that if the internet ever went out, I would just, you know, suicide pact 2 days after. Like, I'm not like hyped up for the end times or anything. I think that's ridiculous. I just think that at the very least, we're going to have to come to a more like dire point before like this even becomes viable. Who else would be in on the pact? Oh, all you, I assume. By the way, streamers not dooming. I think that what I'm saying right now categorically is not doomering, because I think that doomering is about a mindset. What I'm describing is what I think will happen or needs to happen, but I take what I think is a relatively positive attitude. The fact that I think that it will happen isn't meant to take away from my belief that you can frame it positively. Humans have made it through worse times than this. I think we can pull through. I'm pretty optimistic on a lot of stuff. I'm optimistic on the idea that we can overcome the effects of climate change pretty quickly if we really put our minds to it, though whether or not we will is kind of a matter of how quickly we reach that breaking point. Stuff like that, you know? But it's not meant to be approached with a negative attitude. So you hope you're wrong on unions as well? Whenever I make a prediction about the future being bad, I hope that I'm wrong. I'd love to be proven wrong on these matters. Absolutely. What do you mean by preparing? How do you do it personally? I think that on a personal level, we should be financially responsible and prepare for the possibility that the economy will get a lot worse in our lifetimes, and learning skills that will be beneficial to that point. People used to have it a lot more rough than we think, you know? A little historical tidbit. There was a flour milling company that got popular because they started printing floral patterns on the linen sacks they put their flour in. When they realized that during the Great Depression, a lot of women were sewing their children clothes out of the bags of flour. Like, they were linen bags, they would cut them into dresses and stuff. So realizing people were repurposing them as clothes, they started printing floral patterns on the linen bags. That was less than 100 years ago. It's difficult to imagine, but like, there are people alive today who would have worn those clothes. It's kind of difficult to imagine. I think that the economy will get a lot worse within our lifetime. And I think it's good to be, you know, ready for that. And I think that requires some degree of resiliency. I think it's important to stay physically fit, because the future is going to be easier to deal with if you are healthy in a cardiovascular sense, if you can, you know, go up and down the stairs a couple dozen times without collapsing, that sort of stuff, you know. It's about personal preparedness. It's about economic preparedness. It's about social preparedness. It's about forming bonds with your neighbors and friends so that there can be a kind of interdependence. You should be able and willing to like shack up in a roommate situation if absolutely necessary. I'm not saying it's ideal. I'm just saying that if it becomes necessary, that's good. Develop your skills. Try to be literate, because we don't even know if the internet's going to survive to the end of our lives. You know, the internet as we know it, it's good to have that for entertainment. But also, I do think that is a skill set that will be more valuable in the future, like proper literacy, I mean, communicative skills. Being able to communicate well is always valuable. I mean, I leveraged it into a pretty lucrative career, if I do say so myself, though that's not the most common way of doing it. Yeah, that kind of stuff. You all understand what Okay. I've been rambling about this for too long. We're supposed to be catching up on what Trump's been saying for today. That's what I mean by preparedness. It's not about like hunkering down in a nuclear bunker. It's just about, you know, understanding life's not always going to be on the up and up, and you shouldn't fear your life ending as soon as things get worse. That's all. Aren't nuclear bunkers inherently communal? No, not at all.
And I will go to Venezuela. I'm going to run for president.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mr. President of Venezuela.
Mr. President, are you allowed to, or are you willing to end this conflict with Iran charging tolls for passage through the strait?
Us charging tolls?
Iran.
What about us charging tolls?
Is that something you're considering?
I'd rather do that than let them have them, right? Why shouldn't we? We're the winner.
Thanks, Larry. We won. Everything. Yeah.
They are militarily defeated. The only thing they have is the psychology of, oh, we're going to drop a couple of mines in the water, all right? No, we have a concept where we'll charge tolls, okay?
I'm sure. With all the control we have over the strait right now. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it.
Thank you very much. You've said glory be to God in this conflict. Do you believe that God supports the United States actions in this?
I do, because God is good.
Yeah, I don't think community gardens can meet the food needs of a city, but learning how to garden, it's not a bad skill at all. If nothing else, you know, it'll get you guys a little bit of time in the sun, which you could benefit from. Just make sure to wear sunscreen. Very important.
Because God is good, and God wants to see people taken care of. God doesn't like what's happening. I don't like what's happening. Everyone says I enjoy it. I don't enjoy this. I don't enjoy it. These two guys don't enjoy it. You know, people say, oh, boy, they're so tough. I don't like seeing people killed. I've ended 8 wars. Nobody's ever done it.
Heard about this.
The person who won the Nobel Prize came to me and said, you deserve the Nobel Prize. She announced that when they announced, they said, goes to Maria. She's a great person, really a good person. She said, no, this is ridiculous. They gave me the Nobel Prize. President Trump ended 8 wars. I could go over every one of them, including India and Pakistan.
Low key, do you have any deeper musing on why the Allah bit of his truth tweet has been so censored? Media has been editing it out of their screenshots. Just sane washing. Media is completely captured, so they only really want to engage with Trump as like an envoy for Republican ideals. What they don't want to engage with is the fact that the president is genuinely like crazy, like mentally disabled. Like, if he wasn't the president, he would be in a nursing home getting, you know, coddled and patronized to by staff. It's a kind of sane washing, you know? The media, even outlets like MSNBC, are invested in treating him like a kind of competent opposition. Or if he's incompetent, it's a kind of conventional incompetence. Like, oh, he's bad at his job, rather than, like, genuine mental disability. Because if the media started acknowledging that the president is mentally infirm and it isn't like the country just continues in that fashion, you start to develop more fundamental critiques of the system is what I mean. They did the same thing with Reagan, by the way. Reagan had bad dementia in especially his second term, but the media blew over it because the media is willing to criticize individual presidents, but not the idea of the president see itself being a kind of rudderless vessel, if that makes any sense. That's a different kind of criticism. Wow, they didn't do that with Biden. They half and half did with Biden, I think. I think that with Biden, it was more of a... With Biden, I think the accusation was more like he was being shouldered by his staff, because Biden's personal idiosyncrasies were limited largely to the fact that he couldn't fucking speak, whereas Trump's insanity manifests in actual policy. So it's a little bit different, I think. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I would recommend people involve themselves in community gardens if for no other reason than because it'll help them like learn to talk to people. I went to a community event recently in Seattle. There was like a cleanup, pulling ivy and thorned blackberry bushes from a lakefront, and got some damn good exercise. Most of the people there were elderly, so they could only trim. But with my strong young back, I was able to pull up, you know, whole blackberry bushes and ivies and so on. And you got hurt there? I didn't get hurt there. Got a good workout, but it was nice working in the sun for a bit. Youth-mogged? Oh, I youth-mogged the fuck. Okay, I youth-mogged the seniors so hard that a lot of them stopped working and just started watching me. And they started moving a wheelbarrow around to take away all of the plant waste that I was pulling up rather than doing their own sections. they were like, I'm just gonna be part of the productivity train for this guy. No, we were putting the work in. Oh yeah. Lots of ice. My partner is reminding me that that this was a dual effort and that we were both young and strong. Which is true. Now, am I stronger than my partner? Of course, objectively. But did we both do lots of good work? Yes. But did we both do lots of good work? Yes. Yes, we did. Very good work. Oh, speaking of.
President, you called the, yesterday in your Truth Social, you called the Iranians crazy bastards.
True.
What is your response to critics who say that...
I don't care about critics.
What is your response to critics who say that it is your mental health that should perhaps be examined as this war continues?
I haven't heard that. But if that's the case, you're going to have more people like me, because our country was being ripped off on trade, on everything, for many years until I came along. So if that's the case, you're going to have more people. Dasha, go ahead.
Such a weak accusation. Sir, what do you say about... some people claimed that it might be possible that it is in fact your mental acuity that has suffered. Fuck you. Just call him a pedophile.
Your displeasure with NATO in the past, is there a danger to the U.S. not being the de facto of the leader of the alliance, and then other powers within the alliance then getting the decision making when it comes to wars and nuclear weapons?
No, it's not a danger. Look, we went to NATO. I didn't ask very strongly. I just said, hey, if you want to help, great. No, we will not help. I said, that's all right. You don't want to help? Because I've always said NATO's a paper tiger. See, NATO is a paper tiger. Putin's not afraid of NATO. Putin's afraid of us, very afraid of us. And he's explained it to me a lot of times. I got to know him very well. I know him very well. NATO is a paper tiger. NATO is...
Can you tell me what NATO stands for? Okay, whining.
He's a great person, but he's got... And you know, it all began with, if you want to know the truth, Greenland. We want Greenland. They don't want to give it to us. And I said, bye-bye. Okay, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
There was an article I read a couple of weeks ago about how, in anticipation of a potential U.S. air raid on Greenland, our NATO allies were legitimately doing training exercises and preparing to blow up runways in Greenland to prevent us from invading. Like, they were actually, like, there were conversations between politicians, generals, and soldiers on special operations to prevent us from taking over the country. Really? Yeah, really. The Danes sent special ops. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy if you think about it. Thoughts in the news emerging that Trump gave up on the 51st state Canada annexation after he found out King Charles is the King of Canada and didn't want to disrespect them. That's so funny. Trump's psychology is like an open book, man. He doesn't believe in anything other than like big men doing big deals, you know? That's the only thing he believes in. And then he goes to his second press conference. Oh, no. Have we caught up, more or less? Thank the good Lord above. I think we caught up.